Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. I guess there's a point in life when you realise you're just not down with the kids anymore. Most of us, for example, would be able to recognise blues if we heard it, jazz and metal and probably punk. A few might struggle to pick out hip-hop, even more might balk at terms like drum and bass and progressive house. This next interview probably marks that turning point in my life, because the artist known as Bulletproof has, for a number of years, made drum and bass records, and I know what drum and bass is. But his latest album, Soundtrack Forever, is called Dubstep, and honestly, I haven't got a clue. Jay Bulletproof joins us now. Hello, Jay.
Hey, mate. How you going?
Good. Look, am I alone here? I mean, dubstep, it's a reasonably recent phenomenon, isn't it?
Yeah, it's spawned from UK Garage, which was sort of around early 2000, and that took off in the UK for a little while, then petered off into different sort of factions, and dubstep's just one of those.
Would you like to characterise it for us? I mean, it's very hard to just, you know, talking about music is like dancing about architecture or whatever that saying is. But
dubstep is bass-driven, so basically that means the main element is the bass, and that's the main focus. It's meant to be played on big sound systems, which is a part of dub as well. Bass-driven, slow breakbeat music with a dub overtone.
So it's like having sped the breakbeats up for drum and bass, you've now slowed them right down.
Switched them back down to 140 BPM, back down from 170 onwards. Yeah.
And there's quite a lot of variety within the genre, though, isn't there?
Yeah, there is.
You've got something like Burial, which is quite sort of somber,
sort
of sparse music,
yeah,
and then you've got big
really
noisy
deep
tunes.
Yeah, yeah. You get there's different factions of dubstep as well, which is just like any normal club genre. But
why are there so many genres in dance music?
Because I think so many producers produce it. Everyone's got their own take on the sound, and you know, one guy likes the colour purple and the sound he makes is different to someone else's, so he called his sound purple, you know. So it's just one of those things that allows people to be a creative and sort of break their little boundaries that they sort of may feel they're restricted by the music they're making currently, you know.
Now, for years, you personally have been DJing drum and bass as an artist, as Bulletproof. You've been creating drum and bass records, which, as you say, are faster, more drum and bass driven.
Yeah.
Why and how did you decide to make this transition? Was it a conscious thing? Or?
Yeah, it was. I was on tour in the States in 2007, and I was in Atlanta, and I heard dubstep for the first time. And it was actually a US producer who I was listening to. And I liked the way that you were able to incorporate the elements of drum and bass production in it without having to create that wall of sound that drum and bass is renowned for, whereas dubstep allowed you to be more dynamic musically and also technically.
I haven't heard it out loud in a club, but I'm sort of thinking when I hear drum and bass, I know how people are going to dance fast and furious to it. How do people respond in a club sense to dubstep?
Dubstep is similar to house tempo and similar to sort of hip-hop tempo as well, so a lot of people find themselves dancing to it really easily, and if they're not dancing, they're definitely nodding their heads, you know. So
did you find that quite again, just in a personal sense, standing up there at the front of the club DJing, quite a big difference from that drum and bass thing where everything is quite fast and furious and people are flinging themselves around at you, to a more nodding their head kind of getting into it mode?
Yeah, I did the first released party for the album last Saturday night in Hamilton, and I played after a drum and bass guy, and even I was shocked myself when I put the first tune on and it started playing. I was like, oh shoot, that's pretty slow, eh? And I had to make sure I checked the pitch control to make sure I was actually in the right tempo, but I was. It is quite a bit of a knee-jerk transition, but I've started like a couple of tunes now that sort of break down in the middle and slow right down in tempo, and go into a dubstep rhythm, which is a good transition, you know.
Now, with this album, you've gathered quite a list of collaborators and quite a range as well, from Bo Runga to Tiki Tana. Did you want to get a wide range of different styles?
Yeah, I did. I wanted to do something that was going to be a little bit more mainstream as well. That was a huge focus of the album for me because I spent 10 years producing drum and bass, and it's quite an underground music, and unless you make something quite big and commercial, and I've done that within the realms of the style of music that I made, but never gone really commercial with drum and bass, and I didn't really feel like I would either.
Is dubstep more commercial than drum and bass?
I definitely think it's more accessible. Like, that's what I've tried to make the album as accessible, so that someone who's gone out from a nightclub might have heard the tunes at the nightclub, or they might be on their way home listening to it in the car, or they might be waking up on a Sunday morning going, I want to listen to some dubstep and chuck my album on. So I think I want there to be something for everyone, and not only that, like, I want it to sort of be a gateway album into the other forms of the music as well for people to listen to.
To me, the sound, listening to the album, a lot of the tracks are quite, what would you call it, big soundtracky, maybe foreboding in some ways.
Stadium. I mean,
you know, big sort of huge sound, reminiscent perhaps of some of the new Shapeshifter stuff, minus the beats.
Yeah.
This quite intense, oppressive sound.
Yeah. I did go through a little phase of like a little creative musical growth spurt, you know, so I guess that is a sort of snapshot of those moments. Yeah.
Are you ever going to produce anything that's overtly really happy?
I do something called Tokyo Street Gang, which is sort of my little outlet for like 80s style pop, synth rock and all that sort of carry on, but and that sort of, yeah, that keeps the dogs away, you know, the dogs at the door musically.
To what extent are there still demands on a musician producing electronic music and able to distribute, you know, it electronically across the world, to have to go to territories to actually perform in those territories to boost their sales?
It's a wise move, and to me, touring's probably the ultimate perk of making music. Like, just you end up in some of the most outrageous situations and the coolest places and with the coolest people that you would never have met in a million years if you didn't do what you did.
Such as, where have you been, like, in the last few years that would impress us?
London, Madrid, Paris, Estonia, Slovenia, Cluj-Napoca, which is in Romania, Bucharest in Romania, and Yash in Romania as well.
I reckon there must be a big market in those post-Soviet countries for oppressive...
I had no choice but to play hard. There was people standing around with, like, you know, angry looks on their faces when I played something light, so I was like, okay, right, they want the tech, you know, so... the party I played at in Belgrade actually got shut down by the police because it was on a Wednesday night on this barge on the Danube, and the security staff hadn't advised the police that the party was going to be a free event, not one of those ones that makes money, so the cops turn up looking for their cut, and of course there is no money, so the next thing you know, I'm like turning, playing there, and I turn and there's a Glock 9 at my head with like a sort of SAS looking kind of dude standing there waiting, telling me to cut the music out.
Brilliant. Look, yeah. Fantastic. Those are,
and
those
you weren't bulletproof.
And that was the only time I've ever had it tested on me. I don't want to find out.
Brilliant. Thank you. Well, look, it's a really interesting album. It's got some great collaborators in there, and I hope it does really well for you.
Cool. Cheers.
Thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me.
That's Jay Bulletproof. His album Soundtrack to Forever is out in all good record stores now. And that's all we've got time for on the show. If there's something you missed or you'd like to hear again, pop along to our podcast, publicaddress.net/radio. I've been Damien Christie.
And I've been Russell Brown. Thank you. New Zealand on air.